Hey everyone, we are back with another episode of News from the Queue. I'm Paul from Destination Geek, and I am joined by
Eddie from Eddietainment.
And so today, finally, third episode in, we are finally going to give you guys what you want. We're going to talk about Busch Gardens today.
As promised,
right? We've had two episodes where we've been talking about Halloween Horror Nights. In fact, this week, as of this recording, we have a new speculation map to talk about on a future episode. More speculation of what could be coming to this year's Halloween Horror Nights. Some different stuff than what we talked about in our last episode. So we'll dig into that in a future episode. But today is all about what's coming to Busch Gardens in 2026. Talk a little bit about what's coming in 2027. But the first thing we should probably talk about,
there's a lot coming.
And so I'm looking right now, the Busch Gardens Food and Wine Festival returns Thursdays through Sundays from April 23rd through June 21st, plus Memorial Day. And it's got, you know, Food and Wine Festival. I don't know about you, man. Like, it is probably my second. Don't get me wrong, I love Christmastown, but I think Food and Wine may actually be my second favorite event of the year.
It's definitely my favorite repeatable. Reason being, the weather is so much better, and they have all those great food options. Love Christmastown, but it gets pretty darn cold during that time. I think I'm with you. I don't know if I would put it ahead of Christmastown, but it's a strong runner-up to Christmastown.
Yeah, it's definitely. I think the thing about for me about Christmastown is that, I don't know, like, it doesn't feel like it changes year to year. And maybe with Food and Wine Festival, I do see some at least changing food, and that's one of the things. So, you know, according to the email we got and the announcement and all that stuff, there are 135 dishes global this year, either food, beverage, cocktails, whatever, mocktails. And there's some new stuff this year, and I'm very excited because Puerto Rico gets a booth this year.
Puerto Rico. That's new, right?
That is new. That booth is new, and that's me. Yeah, that is me. I am Puerto Rican, so I'm pretty excited about a Puerto Rican booth. They've got a mofongo casserole, which is a mashed garlic plantain casserole topped with chicharrones, ropa vieja, seasoned shredded braised beef with vegetables, raisins, and yellow rice, and a coquito, which is a coconut seasoned condensed milk, cinnamon, and dark rum, Bacardi dark rum.
That sounds delicious. You know what the great thing about Puerto Rico, about you and I is? You're Puerto Rican, I'm Cuban. All these things sound just as delicious and have a lot of similarities. Like, I remember.
Oh, yeah. They're very similar. Growing up. Mm-hmm.
And I was just in Puerto Rico. Mofongo. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Viewers, you are not ready. This is
if
probably.
It's good, if it's good, yeah. Right? But well, I'm hopeful.
It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Paul.
It's going to be on. Good, right? Yeah. You know, I think. You know, the Busch Gardens Food and Wine Festival, I mean, I really appreciate that there's just such a wide variety of food, right? They really do kind of invest, and it's, you know, the event has gone longer and longer. I think it used to start on Memorial Day weekend back in the day. Now it starts basically a month earlier, you know, so we're going to get it on April 23rd. You know, so there's a big spring this year at Busch Gardens because you got Food and Wine Festival, you got some concerts, which we'll talk about here in a minute, some of the concerts coming to the event, but I'm excited about, you know, a decent amount of the new food coming to the event.
Yeah, we got a bunch of new food. I think Puerto Rico is shining for me. I'm looking at the condensed menu with new stuff. I think there is a Cuban booth, isn't there?
I'm pretty sure there's a Cuba booth.
I think there is. We're both represented. They should just call it the Destination Geek and the Eddietainment booth. What the?
I don't know why they don't, really. I mean, at this point, you know, we spend as much time as we spend there. You would think we would get a dedicated food booth. Just combine them into one. The Destination, the Geek, the News from the Queue food booth.
There we go. That would be goals right there. Busch Gardens, hit us up if you're interested. We're open to conversations, but we're not cheap. but I'm excited about the food as well. I don't know about you, but Oh, actually, I kind of feel like I do know about you. You do a lot of like pre-work. You know your stuff going into things. I feel like I'm the type that shows up and kind of just like rolls around and figures it out. So like this right here is probably the most I know about all the food items before going to the Food and Wine Festival, you know? Mm-hmm. And then when I get there, I'll be surprised by a bunch of things. One of the things that surprised me big time, I don't know about you, but last year, in the Africa booth, they had this like, it was kind of like a custard dish type of dish.
Okay.
Did you try it?
I don't remember if I did or not.
I forget the name of it, but it was a surprising dish. It was delicious. And it also had like the part that kind of threw me off that I thought I wasn't going to like, it had raisins in it. I wish I freaking knew the name. Oh, that's killing me right now. But it's that kind of like, don't have too much preparation, kind of get yourself a nice glimpse of the event. I've been to the event enough that, you know, I can navigate through the park and find everywhere that I need to go. Actually, let me mention something. Uh-oh. Do you miss the she crab soup?
I don't eat seafood. So no, I don't miss it at all, Eddie. I don't miss it at all.
This is something that for like the past, I think it's 2 years now that it's been gone, that I've really like been like, man, this must have been an expensive dish. It was delicious. But that
was at the Virginia. No, that wasn't. Was that at the Virginia booth? Like when you first walked in, right?
Yeah, there? Right. Okay. When you first walk in. And I had like a little piece of like toasted bread inside of it. It was delicious. And that thing has not returned. Oh. They do have, I think the crab cakes this year there, which they had last year, but I wish they would bring back that she crab soup, or like they did last year, have like a booth that has like the best of the previous events. Remember they did that last year?
Yeah. Yeah.
And bring she crab soup back. Cause that's the one item that, man, I wish they would bring back. But yeah, I'm excited for everything that's coming. And the concert lineup, I don't want to get ahead of myself. I know that I have a habit.
No, let's go into it. Let's roll into it. You know, yeah, because there's a pretty, I would say this is probably one of the most impressive concert lineups they've had in a while. Because, you know, I mean, some of these acts were not acts that we had heard about before. Or, you know, like I think they just kind of got announced recently, I should say. Because we are going to get, I lost my email. Okay. We are going to get the Beach Boys, Hanson, the Pop 2000, which was last year. It's Joey Fatone, AJ McLean, and a couple of other boy bands, Hoobastank, and Skillet.
Yeah.
Which I think has been, I think Skillet's been there before. I could be wrong on that.
I don't know, but I could have sworn I saw that Flo Rida was added.
Oh, really?
He was added
again this year? Okay.
I thought I saw an email, but I could be wrong. It could have been Busch Gardens Tampa.
I think you may be, I think, oh, no, wait. Flo Rida was added on Saturday, September 5th. So he's not during the Food and Wine Festival. He's, well, I mean, some of these concerts are not during Food and Wine Festival. Some of them stretch into to May and June. So, you know, I think but Flo Rida will actually be September 5th. I think that's during that beer and barbecue brew
festival thing they have, right? Yeah. Interesting. What I'll say is, going back to the lineup that you just discussed, before the two that were added after the fact, the Beach Boys and Hanson, I was already excited about that lineup. I wanted to go see Hoobastank. And now, I think Beach Boys, the advertisement for adding the Beach Boys was specifically for the 250th anniversary of the nation. Is it 250th or 150th?
Yeah.
250th, right?
250th. Mm-hmm.
250th anniversary of the nation. And I feel like that's a fitting band to add for that celebration. I wouldn't say that I'm the hugest Beach Boy fan, but I definitely know their music. I would have assumed this was going to be a cover band, but we're actually getting the Beach Boys.
The Beach Boys. And I think one of the things that's interesting to me is, you know, who's the guy from Full House, Cousin Jesse?
Oh, yeah. Stamos, John Stamos.
Yeah, John Stamos. Like he's been with the Beach Boys. Like, is this going to be Beach Boys with John Stamos?
No way. What?
They were just at the SeaWorld thing, right? Beach Boys just played, I think, SeaWorld or Busch Gardens Tampa, or maybe it was Epcot. They played something And John Stamos is touring with the Beach Boys. Like, he's basically part of the band.
What? Dude, if that ends up happening, I'm going to get my hair nice and tight and make sure nobody touches it. Not the hair. Not the hair. Dude, I wanted to be him when I was growing up.
See, you can go see John Stamos in person with the Beach Boys. You can pick up, your good vibrations.
Yeah. Oh, look at you, man. Hitting me with a little nugget. I had no idea that John Stamos had been touring with the Beach Boys. Now I'm even more excited.
Yeah, yeah. So, that I mean, that's pretty exciting that they got the Beach. I mean, I think Beach Boys, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, it's not like they've got, I don't know, who's. It's not like it's Ed Sheeran or Taylor Swift or anything like that, but these are for Busch Gardens Williamsburg. The names are pretty decent, I would say. I mean, at least you know, Beach Boys, Hanson still draws a pretty decent crowd for these types of events. Hoobastank, you know, I mean, I think Hoobastank is pretty cool. I mean, I know that's my era of rock music. But I think that's a good catch for sure.
I think Hoobastank would be my number one in this list, with Beach Boys being a surprising second because how surprised I am that they're actually coming to the event.
Right. I was wrong about the Pop 2000. Before we go on, I was wrong about Pop 2000. It's not A.G. McLean and Joey Fatone. It's Chris Kirkpatrick, O-Town, Ryan Cabrera, and LFO. So significantly less interesting than what I thought it was going to be.
You mixed it up with Universal's. Pop, because that's who I think was at their
I mean, this is actually a pretty brutal lineup, actually. I'm a boy band guy. I don't get wrong, I love boy band music, but like, nah, I'm good.
You got Hanson if you want boy band music. I can't recall a song of theirs, but I remember.
You don't know Hanson? Mbop?
I feel like I can't. I just off the top of my head, I can't recall them.
People are watching this yelling at you right now.
I don't remember them for their music. I remember them for their female fandom. Girls always talking to me about them.
Yeah.
It wasn't necessarily my thing, but I know who Hanson is, and I know of them very well. But yeah, it's an impressive lineup. And listen, Busch Gardens, I think this is actually a pretty big lineup. And I remember a day when Neo in his prime performed at Busch Gardens Williamsburg.
That's right. That's right.
So Neo. don't sleep on Busch Gardens.
No, no. So I mean, it's an exciting spring. You know, I'm looking at some of these additional dishes coming to the Food and Wine Festival. I mean, we've got candied bacon deviled eggs. Not my jam, but you know, they've just got they're bringing in some really diverse foods, some different kinds of cocktails.
Was the pun intended on that one?
Uh-oh, what did I pun?
Candy bacon, not my jam.
Not my jam. It should have been. I should say yes. What is my jam is they have a whiskey cheese dip. So the Highland Spirits, which was just previously like a whiskey and scotch booth, now has some food. So it'll have the candied bacon, it'll have the whiskey cheese dip. You know, we've got some new dishes at Africa. I mean, a lot of things will have at least one new dish or a new cocktail. So I think I'm excited. I'm going to be there, for Food and Wine Festival. I'm planning on going first weekend to Food and Wine Festival.
Nice. I'll see you there, sir.
Yes, I will see you there. We'll share a cocktail. Well, we won't share. We'll cheers a cocktail. Maybe we'll share.
Who knows? Get your own, Paul.
Get your own cocktail, Paul. And so, you know, before then, though, if you follow each of us individually on our YouTube channels, which you should, you know, like I said, Destination Geek, and we've got Edutainment here as well, because you should definitely follow us on our YouTube channels, because as of this recording, so we're recording this on April 6th. Yep. On April 15th, will get our first look behind the scenes of what's coming to Verboten Forbidden Turn. And so, you know, before they let us in the forest, we wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, what we're hearing. Rumor-wise, yep. Eddie, you've actually been there, so you've seen some construction. So tell me about what you're seeing out there.
Yeah, so I'll talk about the construction, but I do want to mention you've done a great job with the deep dives. So on my construction videos, I don't know if you've watched them all the way through, I've given you shout outs and I've told people if they want to get the details of some of the potentially leaked information of what's coming, that sounds amazing, you're the guy to check out. But in the park, I'll say the first like two like construction updates that I did, I was like grasping at straws for for like content there, you know, like there wasn't much to see. But if you guys saw my last video, a lot's going on. Now, just observing last video and the video that I released today, the scaffolding gone, right? So it must have been just a simple like paint touch-up of the columns, right? Mm-hmm. It couldn't have been anything too major, right? Because it was the support columns heading into the show building, right? I sent you the pictures, yeah. Right? To the left-hand side, the scrim, that orange scrim is still there. And now they've added a permanent fence. It's this like black wired fence about probably like 6-7 foot tall, it looks like from a distance. Obviously, perspective, I may be off on the size, but that's
you know, and, you know, so I was watching your video. So you should definitely check out Eddie's most recent Verbolten construction update video as of this recording. I'm sure, you know, more will come, but, you know, that you did a Verbolten construction update. And yes, I watched it because you pointed out this new fence that they have built around it. And I think, so full credit to BGW fans for all the stuff that I've been showing on my channel, some of the rumored things coming to the attraction, some of the blueprints that they've gotten their hands on, that kind of thing. I mean, they definitely have an insider track that I don't, and I'm fine. You know, I enjoy reading them. I enjoy sharing their information with my, you know, with my viewers and, you know, just kind of giving them, you know, giving them credit for the hard work that they did of getting the information. But I think part of the reason this fence may be happening now is apparently one of the rumored aspects being added to the ride is either some type of statue or animatronic tree root tentacle hybrid thing that appears to be destroying or ripping or bending the track, like a false track, similar to, you know, similar to experiences we've seen in like Expedition Everest in Disney or Donkey Kong, the Minecart Madness, you know, they're like broken pieces of track. And it's like, oh, you know, so I, you know, I think they're doing some type of like hidden track effect, at least before you go into the tunnel, of like, here's this giant tree root that's torn apart this piece of the track. And to my understanding, it may actually go down to, you know, the bottom of like the bottom of the track, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I wonder if that fence is just up there to keep the wildlife away from it, or, you know, to protect it somehow. You know, because right now there's nothing there. There's just, you know, the track support. But I'm wondering if, you know, part of the reason for the fence is to kind of protect some of the actual animatronics or statues or something like that. I don't know. Yeah, just a guess.
And out in the distance, also where I pointed out in the video that there was the like little trailer that they're probably using for like restrooms and stuff for employees working back there. Mm-hmm. It looks like there's a new fence back there as well. So that does make sense, because they're covering it from all angles now, when they weren't before. Another place where I saw a lot of construction going on was the actual line queue where you jump on the actual ride. Yesterday,
like the station building?
Yeah, the station. Yesterday the loading station, the green train was in the loading station. It's partially taken apart, right? So some of the lap restraints and everything are sitting to the side. Mm-hmm. Not sure exactly what they're doing there, but maybe just a touch up like they did to the columns. But that back wall was the most noticeable part. It had been almost completely removed in last video. This video, it's been almost completely replaced with like plywood with only one opening left. My guess, and I didn't do a deep dive into BGW's info like you did, my guess is potentially either a screen of some sort or some type of animatronic in there as well.
You know, I'll say there's not much in the BGW fans articles that mentions what's happening in the station building, right? I mean, there's a reference to, you know, just to kind of briefly summarize what they've been talking about. They've mentioned that the cube will feature some form of animatronic.
Mm-hmm.
And some Easter egg retouches, theming kind of akin to what we saw with like Loch Ness Monster, right? Or even Big Bad Wolf, but probably more like Loch Ness Monster when they rethemed that. Remember, there were all these Easter eggs and like hidden gems and posters and like maps and stuff like that, that kind of fed the story of the ride. And I think that's what they're saying in the queue inside the show building. They've said that not only will we see that they'll kind of move a little bit away from kind of the lighting effects that we've seen and really more focus on apparently some type of giant evil tree sculpture The train will be moving, will be, you know, the coaster will be going around and through an animatronic, some type of maybe animatronic human being. There will be like a hanging, like the Volkswagen bug that sits outside the ride will be moved inside the building and will be hanging in some form or fashion. So like they are really like dark riding up this show building in a way that I like, it is way beyond anything I expected to come from this revamp. If it's all true, right? This is all total, you know, I mean, again, they've got blueprints, they've got insider information, but like none of this is officially confirmed until we have it officially confirmed.
Until
we bring it to you next Wednesday.
Nothing officially confirmed until next Wednesday, but that's a good point that you bring up, because this reminds me, like getting a true dark ride in the park is what I think distinguishes a theme park very specifically, right? Like, and what I mean is, like, you know, a lot of people can throw jabs and say, oh, it's just an amusement park, up to you have like legitimate dark rides. That's that I feel like is a defining factor of a theme park. Busch Gardens Williamsburg used to have the Curse of Dark Castle, which I thought was a big differentiator between its neighbor King's Dominion and itself, right? This is bringing that back. Obviously, I still think that King's Dominion and Busch Gardens do have significant differences, but removing a ride like Dark Castle brings them closer together, more comparable, right? Because it becomes just a coaster war, right?
Yeah, I will say, you know, I think that's something that makes me a little bit sad. This is totally off topic, but it makes me a little bit sad in this current era of theme parks is that almost every year, theme parks just kind of focus on the new coaster. Right. Mm-hmm. What's the new coaster we're putting in? What's the new, you know, coaster advancement? And there hasn't been a ton of advancement or investment in dark rides, in true family rides, you know, family coaster, sure, but a genuine dark ride experience. You know, I know we're getting Phantom Theater at Kings Island, you know, in Ohio. Looking forward to sharing that with viewers of the channel, but. You know, in general, most investment is really in coasters right now, which, you know, I get it. It sells, it's social media friendly, that kind of thing. But man, I will say, obviously, Dark Castle had its issues.
Yep.
I would give up Dark Coaster in a heartbeat for them to figure out some revamp to Dark Castle. Now, don't get me wrong. Not going to. They just got Dark Coaster a few years ago. So like that's not going to happen anytime soon, but that building is and that ride, which was basically just a replication of Spider-Man and Transformers, you know, from Universal Studios, but like that's Universal Studios. This was Busch Gardens Williamsburg that had a Universal Studios level ride, and so I'm sad that Dark Castle isn't there anymore.
Yeah, and I think you're right. The theme park industry, amusement park industry, took a hard left to extreme coasters, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think we're seeing a slow U-turn back. Not a Chris whip the tail and back around.
I think we're seeing an embracing of, and I think what's happening is this is the Epic Universe effect in the industry. It's the Galaxy's Edge first. And now Epic Universe effect across the industry is that there is a focus on not just coaster, but theme and immersion.
Yeah.
you know, in not just rides, but in new lands and things like that. And I'm loving it. I'm loving it. You know, of course, you know, and I think part of it is that things like Pantheon backfired a little bit on Busch Gardens because they basically scrapped all theming in just to get the ride up and running. But
to their defense, they made it up with what I think they made it up with the following coaster. The second following coaster, the Big Bad Wolf. I think the theming was on
point. Oh, I think the theming in Loch Ness Monster, but Loch Ness Monster, Big Bad Wolf, and now Verboten.
Yeah.
I think the theming has been spectacular in all three of those rides. Well, and I'm looking forward to seeing what Verboten does, I should say, you know, but if the rumors are true, like Verboten's going to rock, man. I mean, it's already one of the best coasters they have in the park. And you know, hopefully it's getting a little TLC on the track and stuff like that, but I mean, it still runs fine. But if they truly are doing as much in this ride as what we're hearing, it's crazy to me that they're investing so much in a ride that frankly didn't need it. Like you could have literally just fixed up the projections and been done with it, but they're basically turning it into a whole new experience.
Yeah. And you know what came to mind just now thinking about Pantheon and Verboten is those two rides. You mentioned Dark Castle being a universal ride at Busch Gardens Williamsburg. Those two rides are also comparable universal rides as well. A lot of times you hear Verboten in the same light as Hagrid's, right? Because of the drop track that Universal claimed to do first, which they didn't. Verboten existed first, right? Also, at least from my perspective, Pantheon is the unthemed Velocicoaster, right? It incorporates the rollback all on its own. You know, everybody hopes for the rollback at Velocicoaster, but you get it in Pantheon. So it's like almost like they're scratching at that Universal back to claw themselves back into that position. And this might be that big turn. Also, not to get off track, I don't know if you saw the survey that they had released. Seems like they're strongly considering future opportunities for dark rides as well. Did you see the survey?
Yeah, I've seen this. Well, I saw a survey. I haven't seen the most recent survey, but I know they've talked about surveys based on like Grim Fairy Tales, a dark ride based on Grim Fairy Tales. I mean, some of the survey things, you know, have hinted at what's potentially coming to Busch Gardens, right? So there's been a dark ride themed to Grim Fairy Tales. There's been something, you know, kind of a revitalization of Corkscrew Hill in Ireland, which, you know, I mentioned earlier that we'll talk about what's coming in 2027. That's apparently the big project for 2027, according to BGW fans, is something coming to that show building where Battle for Ire, Corkscrew Hill, Questor, you know, was, that will get some type of new experience in that building. Now, it sounds like it will be some type of screen experience, you know, similar to what those rides are or were. Don't know how I feel about that, but, you know, I mean, I think every park needs at least one ride like that, right? Every park needs a Star Tours or a Soarin' or something like that. So I would imagine this will be something equivalent to like a Soarin', you know, like what they had before.
It's very possible. SeaWorld has a what's the Penguin Track? No, Penguin.
Oh, yeah, the Penguin. I know, Penguin Track. I think you're right.
No, I think Penguin Track is the coaster.
Oh,
it's some Expedition something.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know, but they have a Soarin' version that they just basically added to SeaWorld, so it's very likely that we could get something like that as well. But back to Verboten, not to get too off topic, we're excited for what's coming to Verboten because we were going to talk 2027 after Verboten, right?
Yeah, we're going to talk about, but we just talked about it, right? Like it's potentially a new Corkscrew Hill type experience. I mean, I'm excited for it. Like, let's be clear. I'm excited about anything that happens at Busch Gardens Williamsburg, anything new that they do to the park, any investment they make in the park. You know, Corkscrew Hill, it's not like I don't really remember that one as much. I think I remember, I mean, obviously I remember Battle for Ire. We covered that for the YouTube channel. And Questor is the one that really, you know, has hold of my heart. But I just don't think we're going to see that property return, because now it's Ireland, and Questor was really when that was a different land. It was more fantasy themed.
I didn't get to do Questor or anything outside of Battle for Ire. Battle for Ire was rough, man.
Yeah, that was a tough one.
I had to close my eyes like halfway through the ride. If not, I was gonna like throw up big.
Yeah. Did you try it when it was when they had the VR helmet?
Yes. And I have my VR helmet over there too. But
do you really?
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. I started with the VR helmet and the little magnetic thingamajigger. It was rough.
I got to tell you, there's nothing worse. Every theme park needs a screened ride. Not a single theme park needs any type of VR, AR experience. So I'm calling you out, Mario Kart Bowser's Challenge. You know, like, but Battle for Ire and at Six Flags America, rest in peace, there was the Superman roller coaster. For 1 year, they gave you VR helmets to ride when you rode the coaster. And rode the coaster, you got to experience Superman doing a battle across the skies of Metropolis while you were on the coaster. And it was...
Did you do that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. You can actually look up the video on my channel. It's on there. Okay. So I think it's called Superman Battle for Metropolis. It was... The problem with that is that when you're wearing a VR helmet, you're looking around. But when the coaster's whipping in the opposite direction from the way you're looking, you're just like snapping back and forth. It was not, it didn't last very long, I will say.
That sounds like I think nauseating on a whole nother level.
It was so not my jam. I think their heart was in the right place. But you know, I think when it comes to retheming roller coasters, one, VR is not it. No. Two, the way to do it is what sounds like they're doing with Forbolton Forbidden Turn, which is they are bringing some immersion and theming. They have literally a giant show building, right? I would say 70%, 75% of this roller coaster is inside that building.
Yeah.
The fact that, you know, like this, the potential for a giant tree and this maybe, you know, witch figure in the woods, you know, that... I'm so excited. I mean, we are going to be seeing it in a week and a half as of this recording. It was already a cool ride. I already appreciated that Forbolton was one of those things that Busch Gardens did. They found a way to incorporate horror elements in that ride from the very beginning. In the queue experience, there were like TV screens that kind of hinted at the forest being alive and taking people and stuff like that. And I loved that from the beginning, and the fact that they seem to be really leaning into that a little bit more. And Busch, I mean, like literally they've been kind of leaning into that element for years now, between you've got the giant Loch Ness monster statue. The Big Bad Wolf is all about, you know, the wolves attack on the village. And now we've got Forbolton, like Busch Gardens is leaning into a little bit of this horror element, and I'm here for it.
And you just mentioned the screens. I don't know if you saw the very like latter end of the video. I've never noticed the screens in the Lion Queue, but now they have like that that display of kind of like off like if a TV channel is off of
kind of thing.
Oh yeah, off the air. Mm-hmm. The screens now are reflecting that in the queue line, right? Because while the queue's closed, they have no reason to have the screens on. So.
But I'm wondering if that, like, will that show something? Will it show travel footage? Will it show, I don't know. I guess we'll see. Because were there TVs in that queue before, other than the one room that had, like, the small monitors of the stuff in the forest? Were there TVs in that queue?
I can't recall. And this one was outside of the building area. It's in the very back. You could see it from, like, when you're heading onto the bridge. You could see it back there. And it had that display on it. It would be sick if they slowly released like video content onto there, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To kind of tease at what's coming.
I would love it. So here's one thing before we move on, and I don't know that we're moving on, but
never moving on.
But it's something you just said, right? Something you just said. So you mentioned the TV screens in the queue, and you know, hopefully it shows like we get some video content. I'm just kind of explaining how my brain works. Made me think about the TVs that they have in the Alpengeist queue. or the TV they have in the Alpengeist queue that sometimes, if you're lucky, shows the story of Alpengeist, like the spirit of the mountains or the ghost of the mountain or whatever, you know, this giant creature, blah, 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 blah. 2027 is actually an anniversary year for Alpengeist. Now, to my knowledge, there's been no plan to celebrate it in any type of, you know, major way, major retheme, but
okay,
it'll hit its 30th anniversary, and I feel like,
wow,
if you know, if Busch Gardens wants to keep on revitalizing these old coasters with some type of animatronic or theming element, Alpengeist really could be their next target. You know, you could have, because there's a lot of opportunity in Alpengeist because it is so like encompassed in one specific area, yeah, that you could have some type of giant creature of the mountain without, you know, just, and you know, you clean up the snow effects, this creature that you can even probably put a snow machine, you know, the creature of the mountain, you know, some enhanced theming throughout the queue, stuff like that. You could basically do the Loch Ness Monster, you know, like take the Loch Ness Monster treatment, slap it on Alpengeist, and you have a big 30th anniversary for that coaster. It is not rumored. I've not seen it anywhere, but I feel like it's a missed opportunity to not just be like, you know what? 30th anniversary. Right. Let's, you know, and we've seen a great deal of success in these rethemes. I feel ride, like that's an opportunity.
That ride still without much push still demands a pretty decent like portion of the audience at Busch Gardens. I would say that ride and Griffin probably are like the most consistent with lines outside of like the new guys, Pantheon or, you know, Verboten or Big Bad Wolf, because they're new. But you don't hear people talk about Alpengeist enough, but Alpengeist, I know, but Alpengeist, when I pass by it, almost always has a decent line.
Yeah. So that's I think there's an opportunity there. Busch Gardens, call me. I got some ideas. we can make this happen. Well, you can make this happen. I'll just spew ideas.
This is our video resume.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I think and you know, and it wouldn't have to be the extensive retheming that you're doing in Verboten, but I think we will, like I said, it's April 6th as of this recording. I think obviously, and like I said, the majority of the ride is inside, but I think we will see some real progress over this next month. In fact, I would venture to say, if you're going out, in ways that the public can see. In fact, I would venture to say, if you are going for Food and Wine Festival, you will really start seeing some stuff on the queue area, the queue building, the show, the station, you know, and even the track and exterior to the show building. I think we'll really start seeing some theming on that probably this month.
Oh yeah, for sure. And especially if they're planning on doing something next Wednesday, that has to be because they're ready to ramp things up to the close. I want to kind of like just make this point. When the announcement for Verboten first came out, I wasn't crazy thrilled. I wasn't super opposed to it as some people were because it wasn't Pantheon getting the retheme. I was curious. But as information has kind of leaked out and everything that is rumored to be coming to this ride, I am ecstatic. And I'm so happy that it wasn't Pantheon and it was Verboten, just because I feel like they could do it so much better with Verboten. With the,
I'm gonna say something controversial. Area.
Yeah.
I don't think Pantheon needs it anytime soon.
I don't think so either.
I think Pantheon has no theming, but I think if I'm Busch Gardens, there is no return on investment for doing anything with Pantheon right now. The coaster is still new. They're still kind of experiencing some issues, you know, with maintenance on it. But it's still new. It still gets the crowds. There is no need in my mind to focus attention on Pantheon right now, because it's doing just fine even without the theming. People want it. People are just disappointed in the lack of it. doesn't hurt anything.
Because it was kind of promised, right?
Yeah.
But that being said, that's a coaster enthusiast coaster to the bone. And most coaster enthusiasts aren't really too concerned with theming, right? Yeah, they're more concerned with the elements and how the layout is. And that ride already has an impressive layout with some great elements. When you bank over the Rhine River and get that turn, when you get the inverted stall, that ride is spectacular.
What I would say is, you know, when it comes to roller coasters, 90% of roller coasters, if not 95% of roller coasters, are unthemed anyway. Regardless of the theme of the queue, you know, like, oh, this queue, here's the story of the ride, you know, you're the Greek gods or whatever, or, you know, even in the case of Loch Ness Monster, you're like, oh, you're, well, not current Loch Ness Monster, but let's talk, but maybe Griffin, right? Like, oh, you're the legendary Griffin soaring over. Once you literally board that thing, it's just a roller coaster. There's no story. You know, it's not Snow Wars Seven Mine Train. It's not The Mummy. You know, like, there's no actual story once you ride a roller coaster. I think that's something that Busch Gardens, with these last two, with Loch Ness Monster and Big Bad Wolf, they have found, it's still a roller coaster, but they have found some way to invest in a story element, usually via audio cues, but also via some of the special effects and whether it's Loch Ness, the video, or the giant statue, or Big Bad Wolf, the village, you know, things like that. They have found a way to bring story into a roller coaster in a way that I haven't, that you don't often see. So, you know, like, but with Pantheon, it just feels too new to really bother to spend that kind of money. Like, there are other areas in the park that need TLC. Like, for Bolton needed some TLC, right? Yeah. Like, they needed to fix some effects in that building. They're just doing way more than that. But, like, you know, Loch Ness Monster was, you know, nearing an anniversary, or what was it, 50 years almost?
Yeah.
You know, so, like, the park needed to invest in those things. So I'm not surprised that, you know, that they focused on these rather than theming Pantheon, but just saying, 30 years Alpengeist, just do it.
I'm super happy that they chose Revolton, but now I'm excited for Alpengeist.
I hope so. I mean, like I said, it's not, it wasn't on any of the surveys or anything, but, you know, I don't know how you go 30, you know, you have a 30th anniversary for that ride and it needs a fresh coat of paint. I mean, I know they just did a little bit of refurbishment not that long ago, but it needs a fresh coat of paint on the queue and stuff like that. It could very much, it still runs well. It's still kind of, I wouldn't call it an extreme coaster, but it is a nice in-between coaster between your family coaster of Big Bad Wolf and your higher level, you know, extreme coasters. I think there's a lot of potential to bring an audience back there. So anyway, that's totally off topic.
Yeah.
It's just something it's just something I noticed earlier this year, or, you know, in 2025, I was like, cause in 2025 for Busch Gardens 50th anniversary, I actually did a little bit of a series of videos on, like, each of the roller coasters. Like, here's the history of the roller coaster. Here's, you know, POV, that kind of thing. And when researching it, I was like, Alpengeist is turning 30 in 2027. Feels like they should do something.
Yeah,
something beyond just t-shirts and a mug, right? Like, give me. Oh, speaking of which, for Bolton Forbidden Turn merchandise, man, like, it's got to be coming. You got to plan this week.
Be around the corner. Yep,
we might get an
early look at some of that too. Fingers crossed.
I would imagine we'll see some merchandise. I mean, obviously, even with Big Bad Wolf, the merchandise wasn't there earlier, but we'll probably start seeing something. Like I said, I think April's going to be a big month. Obviously, not because once they have the content creators and media out there, and, you know, what's inside that show building gets out officially, I think that's when things kick into overdrive. And we have the first question I see on every post, every video, is when is it coming open? Right now they're still saying spring.
Yeah.
I would, if I were a betting man, I would say Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
If I were a betting man, I would say Memorial Day Friday. And if they're doing it anything like Big Bad Wolf, the one, I don't know that they're promising pass holders early ride time on this one. Not that I've seen.
I would say it's a missed opportunity though for like a soft.
Yeah, soft but I haven't opening. Seen it advertised. Maybe it is. But if they have and I've missed it, you know, leave us a comment down below. But I would say, if I was a betting man, I would say media event Friday of Memorial Day weekend, followed by exclusive ride time for members that Friday, grand opening that Saturday, Memorial Day weekend. That would be my guess. No inside track again, but that's what they did with Big Bad Wolf.
Yeah.
It's you know, I mean, I think even Loch Ness Monster opened up in May, not necessarily Memorial Day weekend, but I think it opened up in May. So, but that would be my guess.
Yeah. I think that's a good guess. I think May is definitely the month, in my opinion, and it would make the most sense to open it for an amazing weekend, like a holiday weekend. Mm-hmm. Get the people in the door with a brand new coaster, which is what that coaster is going to do. But to that point, you and I have both been following this, creating content on it. And I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you to all you guys who have been supporting us. Your excitement for the content has got us excited for next Wednesday. We're obviously coaster enthusiasts just like you guys, but the support on the videos doesn't go unnoticed. The videos have done well. And I enjoy putting out content that everybody else is enjoying too.
Well, Eddie, for those who are listening to this via audio, because we are now available on all podcast providers, but for those of us who are listening to this on audio, where can they find you?
So on YouTube, it's Eddie Tainment, and that's EDDY Tainment, like entertainment. Eddie, my name. And then everywhere else, it's Eddie Tainment 1. I'm on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook. What am I missing? X. I'm on everything. Yeah. Right? Is it X now?
Yeah, it's X now. That's all off Twitter.
Everywhere else is Eddie Tainment 1.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm Destination Geek on YouTube, and I'm Destination Geek HQ on Instagram and TikTok. Or you can literally just go to destination-geek.com and all the links will be there. So yeah, check us out. You know, make sure you subscribe to both channels. You know, we will both be there for this hard hat tour of Verbolten Forbidden Turn. We will be bringing you all the footage. We, you know, follow us on our social medias, follow us on YouTube. We'll be bringing, you know, Eddie's point of view, my point of view. You know, all the things. And of course, not only that, you know, we're focused all on Verbolten Forbidden Turn. We talked about Food and Wine Festival. We will also have our first look at new Food and Wine Festival dishes coming to the upcoming event. So lots of stuff coming to both of our channels in the next few weeks.
Yep. Mofongo. I hope we get some mofongo up in there.
Yeah. Give me some mofongo. Well, Eddie, this is good. We're talking about Busch Gardens. You know, I'm ready. You know, for, you know, some folks have asked me recently, you know, because I've referred to Busch Gardens as not my home park. In fact, I think on this podcast I said Busch Gardens wasn't my home park anymore, because I had moved away. It's still technically my home park. My family still lives back there, but I live in Michigan now, and so I go to. So I will tell you, it's killing me because. I moved about a year ago to Michigan, but leading up to the openings of Loch Ness Monster and Big Bad Wolf, I was going to those parks like every week, or going to Busch Gardens like every week, trying the construction. So not being able to do that for Verbolten Forbidden Turn has been a little bit killer, but I will be, like I said, I'll be at the park for the hard hat tour here in mid-April, and then I will be back at Busch Gardens for Food and Wine Festival at the end of April, and I will certainly be there for the grand opening for Bolton whenever that opens. I'm assuming late May.
And like they say, Paul, home park is where the heart is. Okay.
I like it. I like it. Well, all right, everyone, if you liked this video, give us a thumbs up on it. It really helps us out to know that you want more of these. And the way to get more of these is to give us a thumbs up. Hit the subscribe button on both of our channels. Hit the notification bell so that you know when we release upcoming episodes. And share the videos with your friends. Let your friends know, especially people who watch either one of our channels. Let them know that you know we've got a new fun theme park content podcast out there for them to listen to.
Yeah. And in the comments, let us know if you guys want anything else, anything different that we're not covering, let us know in the comments.
Yeah, definitely let us know in the comments, because, you know, we'll be talking about in the coming weeks for Bolton, Halloween Horror Nights news and speculation.
Some food and wine.
Some food and wine. And, you know, we'll probably talk about some King's Dominion stuff. We'll probably talk about some Six Flags and, some Six Flags parks news, you know, around me. We've got the parks are starting to open in mid-April and early May. Like I said, some new stuff coming out to Kings Island and, Travis Kelce, the Travis Kelce touch coming to these Six Flags parks. I definitely want to talk about that in a future video. So if you want that content, leave us a comment down below. If you want us to talk about something that we haven't mentioned, let us know.
Yes, sir.
And thank you for those who are listening. We are very much appreciative of you.
All right.
All right. We will catch you in the next one.